From 104.5 The Zone, this is the Midday 180. Queued up by Edley's Barbecue with Jonathan Hutton, Chad Withrow, and Paul Kuharski.
Second half of the show is here, Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. Tomorrow, live and on location, Scoreboard Bar and Grill, there to watch the Nashville Predators take on Arizona. Down 0-1 in the best-of-five series, the Preds in a must-win situation with the short series. Need to come out strong after yesterday's performance. Glad you're with us. Looking at Chad Withrow in Mount Juliet. Paul Kuharski is in Brentwood. David Reed, the chairman of the board, making the show happen in Nashville. I'm Jonathan Hutton in Murfreesboro. Guys, we're excited to be out tomorrow, and hopefully listeners, Zone listeners, Midday 180 season ticket holders, and Preds fans come out and enjoy the game.
We've already heard from some season ticket holders that will be in attendance tomorrow. Everyone is welcome. Hope to have a big crowd out there. It is a big space. You can stay socially distant. It'll be safe. They've got a $20 seafood boil going on, 2-for-1 drinks. We've got free T-shirts for you. Let's get a big crowd out at Scoreboard Bar and Grill tomorrow to watch the Preds. Hopefully even up the series with Arizona at 1 apiece. We'll be there from 10 a.m. to 2 p.m. Game starts at 1:30. Arrive whenever you want. It's going to be a fun day. Looking forward to being out of the house and broadcasting live with you guys again for the first time in a while, too.
Yeah, these are the legit Midday 180 T-shirts, too. This is not some promotional thing with, like, insert gas station logo on the back here. This is Midday 180 Predators T-shirt from a couple years back during the playoff run that we still have left over that they found, I believe, in the station. I had no idea we still had some left.
But we're They're coming out of the closet, these shirts.
They are. I had to pick up some. If you want some, come grab your T-shirt. We've got plenty of sizes.
And let us know on Twitter also, on Instagram, Twitter, wherever you follow us, Facebook. Let us know if you're going to be in attendance tomorrow, and we'll put you down for one of those T-shirts.
Coming up in about 25 minutes or so, the Titans have some media availability. We're going to hear from Kevin Byard, Jonnu Smith, Taylor Lewan, and Harold Landry on the docket today. So we'll get some offensive and defensive players coming up. Our thanks to John Feinstein, who joined us earlier. That's available, 180 on demand. Chris Mason scheduled to be with us today. He will join us tomorrow. Same for Mike Keith. And we will have a brand new edition of The Truth According to Kirby, live and in person. We're not going to retell the truth. We have a brand new one for you tomorrow. Plus David Ewing, John McClain, and much more. Jam-packed show. And it's live from Scoreboard Bar and Grill, 2408 Music Valley Drive. The other part, Paul, to the player situation is that teams are claiming that agents are calling using the opt-out as leverage, saying, hey, my client's considering opting out, but he'll stay if you redo his contract.
Yeah, and I think that there was a fear of this at the beginning, and it wouldn't be a fair play, so to speak, if this were happening. Though I will say what we've heard is GMs saying that agents are doing that. We've not heard who. So, I want to be with the GMs on this, but the GMs are so damn cautious about these agents and everything.
Yeah.
If an agent's doing that, let's out him. Let's out the players that are doing that, right? Why do we have to be so civil and so polite? Let's light up the player that's doing that. Let's gather together.
I'm with you.
And name three of the guys who are trying that play. We can make that. We can turn that around real fast.
Maybe it's Odell Beckham who doesn't want to play.
Yeah, interview with the Wall Street Journal. Odell Beckham saying that he doesn't think anyone should play this year. That they're rushing to play football and they don't need to be doing it.
They're playing.
Yeah, yep. Odell Beckham.
With or without Odell Beckham Jr.
If he would not, here's his option. He can opt out. I mean, no one's holding that against him if he does.
Well, I mean, there'll be plenty of fans holding it against him, but he's a big boy. And, the guys who are opting out are doing so ready and willing to to, you know, I'm believing the vast majority of them who are taking it. A lot of them have cited, you know, their grandparents, their wives, sure, their newborns. I'm totally with that. But, you know, you're going to get some Twitter backlash. If Odell Beckham opts out after talking to the Wall Street Journal this way, he's going to take some flack for it. And he's got to be bigger than that. And Twitter flack shouldn't determine what you do or don't do.
This was in an interview with the Wall Street Journal. His quote, "We're not ready for football season, so why are we trying to push forward?" Funniest part about this Wall Street Journal article is that it begins with after he wakes up around 10 a.m. daily, and then it goes into his daily routine. I'm thinking, a pro athlete waking up at 10 a.m. every day seems like something a college student would do. It seems like a late jump to the day. He also tells the interviewer that he's about to hop on a jet ski, that he's on a boat with people while he's doing one of these interviews, and he's about to hop on a jet ski at some point. So anyway, Odell Beckham Jr. doesn't think football should happen.
Living the life. Second part of that quote, I just feel like the season shouldn't happen, and I'm prepared for it not to happen, and I wouldn't mind not having it.
sounds like a kid
that's like, you know, not that keen on school starting.
Right. It sounds like someone who doesn't really love football that much. He's just an incredible athlete.
I'd rather not go to work on Monday. Screw it.
Yeah.
You know, I thought for a while, like, I would just rather not work for the next 3 months. I've really given it a lot of thought, and I thought to myself, you know, why do it? And I just kind of don't even want to do it right now. I just kind of want to do nothing for the next 3 months. How about we do that instead?
My jet ski's here.
Yeah, got to go.
Hey, I got to wake up at 10 a.m. tomorrow, so I need to get to bed by 2 or 2 a.m. or so. So this is going to be a short day for me.
So the Titans, as well as other teams across the league, they're now in this phase of essentially what it is. It's the first two phases of OTAs that they missed, where they're going to have conditioning and they will have walkthroughs. No helmet, from what I understand, just a walkthrough, individual one-on-one, offensive walkthroughs, defensive walkthroughs, and some situational offense versus defense walkthroughs, where you can layer some things, walk through an aspect of a route tree that you're adding to or that you're changing from last year. It should be beneficial to a team who returns a lot of players and the coaching staff and the continuity between the two. That, to me, the Titans can benefit more from this than Carolina, who is implementing and starting from scratch with everything. That's where
odds are too, that team walkthrough is offense versus a scout. You know, or offense even against other offensive players lined up like a defense, while the defense is all together on another field doing the defensive things. Very unlikely you see a walkthrough where it's offense walking through against defense.
And then you have August 14th. That's when helmets pop on, and full pads is a week after that.
And that 14th is the first media day of this whole deal.
And even that is more, I mean, the 14th is what? Like 7-on-7 type stuff? 9-on-7?
I'm not certain. I think it also starts the countdown of the number of padded practices. Give me 1 second here and I'll
find. Yeah, because you go from the walkthrough to actually being able to run some drills maybe. And then full pads a week after that. And that leads you up to week one once you get to that phase.
First look is the 14th. Titans can be in pads the 17th and then up to 14 padded practices from the 17th to the 6th. The fifth is cut down day.
The hurry up and wait. You know, at least we don't have to wait as long as we did for the NBA and NHL. Whenever they announced their return, we were still 2.5 months away.
That is true. And the baseball haggling was an endurance contest as well. So,
right. We'll give our thoughts on the Preds and what we expect from this group in game two tomorrow. And we'll also hear coming up from Kevin Byard and Jonnu Smith, plus Taylor Lewan and Harold Landry. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue. This is 104.5 The Zone.
Coming up this afternoon on the 3HL.
We recap a busy sports weekend, including the Predators.
The latest Titans news with Uncle Buck Rising.
Austin Huff from Corked Bats stops by with his musings.
And your phone calls, playa.
This afternoon from 2 to 6 p.m. on 104.5 The Zone.
So Philip Fulmer has talked with WNML. Thank you, Paul. The sports animal. It's now just sports radio, WNML in Knoxville. I don't think that the animal is in there anymore. Nonetheless.
I worked.
Fulmer is now saying he could see it at Neyland Stadium 50% or 25% capacity. But he's still waiting. He's going to wait until the absolute last moment that he has prior to announcing how many fans can be in attendance for game number one at Neyland Stadium. And with the schedule being pushed back now to, you know, late September, all of these schools across the SEC will have this ability to sit back and wait and see trends. Although it's trending towards, if they're going to have fans, not that many at all inside the college stadiums.
We got an excitement level of a new schedule unveiling later this week with the SEC also. Their plans are to unveil the schedule late this week, the new schedule. So everything could be flipped upside down. We know two games will be added to everyone's schedule, but it's going to be interesting to see what that looks like. And also the flexibility different programs can have week to week in terms of attendance. I think it'd be important.
Now, so we're not under the assumption that it's Tennessee, Florida for week one based on all this?
I mean, you can assume that right now, but they could change it. I mean, they could do whatever they want with this schedule now that the SEC's in control of it, that they could move everything around. Right now, September 26th is Tennessee, Florida, and that's the start date of the season, but they have not said that those games that are already existing will be in those dates.
Now,
so they could switch everything up.
Let me clarify something I said. I said Fulmer's waiting to the last moment. He knows that they're not going to be at 100% capacity. He's hopeful that they can be closer to 50% than 20%, but he acknowledges that most schools will be at 20 to 25% and that he's going to take his time. He's going to wait. He said, I don't think there's any question there's going to be reductions. I'm kind of holding out hopeful that we get the curve kind of turned back down. We've got maybe a month, and maybe even during the season, it could continue to get better. We also know it could continue to get worse. I don't want to put a number out there right now, but they're looking at models. They're listening to the state. They're listening to health departments. They're certainly listening to their leadership on campus, and they'll come to the right place on exactly what that number needs to be. But, you know, he goes on to say, hey, we're also having to discuss tailgating and the Vol walk and the band and conversations about everything that is the game day atmosphere for Tennessee football. And, you know, his conversations and what we're discussing for Tennessee, fans across the entire Southeast within the SEC frame are having to discuss all of this.
That makes it sound like he feels like there's potential to change it during the season, doesn't it? Where he says the numbers could get
Yeah,
that's what he said in the initial release.
Yeah, that's what I was just talking about. Difficult to pull off, like we've talked about from an NFL sense, to have a sliding scale where you're changing what the configuration looks like game to game or month to month.
It's doable. It's easier, though, to just set it and forget it. Right. Set your standard and just say, this is what it's going to be.
But I also think it's extremely smart to leave open that flexibility if, and it's a big if, you're able to pull it off from an administrative standpoint, from week to week, from home game to home game. Because let's say there's 3 weeks in between games. So Tennessee plays one game in front of 25% capacity, and 3 weeks later they can play in front of 75% capacity and 75,000 fans. I don't know. I'm just giving you an example. So if you've got 3 weeks to plan on that, you can open it up to other people to buy it.
Yeah.
So I think it's smart to do that. Here's what we know also. It's going to be a team-by-team decision, and it's going to be a state-by-state decision. So what's the advantage if Missouri is in a good spot with their numbers of COVID, let's say in October or November, and they've got 100% capacity or 75% capacity? Probably a bad example because that stadium's not good either way. But then in Florida, no fans are at the games.
Right.
For instance. So that's where you get the competitive imbalance a bit of Tennessee could go to Arkansas and play in front of 90,000 fans and then not be able to have more than 15,000 fans in their own stadium when they host a SEC team. So what is that going to look like? A lot of intrigue about this SEC season, starting with what the schedule is going to look like. I mean, we think right now it might be Tennessee, Florida kicking off the season on September 26th, but it doesn't have to be. That they could flip this thing completely around and make it totally different, because now for 1 year you've got an NFL-type setup where it's a central scheduling body that's going to go through and make every team schedule for them for this one season. So I'm excited to see what the new schedule looks like when it comes out. We do know this, though, and Hutton, we talked a lot about it. Every week starting September 26th is going to be exciting with a lot of big games. No cupcakes this year for SEC teams. None at all. It is a professional-level schedule from the competitive balance standpoint of 10 league-only games.
Yeah, and the idea that we could see Tennessee and Florida for week one right out of the gates is awesome to me. Like the build-up to that kickoff with that rivalry.
In Knoxville, too.
Right.
You know, Philip Fulmer's got his fingers crossed. Let's see if we can get 50,000 people in there close to the field to make a little bit of noise for that game.
Paul, you're jumping off this Zoom meeting to go join another, so we will chat soon and get a recap from everything that you hear.
Will do.
Yeah, he's going into some media availability with Kevin Byer, Taylor Lewan, Harold Landry, and Jonnu Smith. And we'll hear, I think Byer maybe first, but we'll find out in just a moment, Chad. But yeah, I mean, I like the optimism that they could get 50 to 75%. But, you know, it's also saying, hey, we're going to be flexible. Well, every SEC school will be flexible with their scheduling, because if you open up at 20 and then you have to shut down, that's flexibility. Like, so technically every university is going to be flexible with attendance, because there could be a situation where they have to say no fans available right now.
Let me be clear. And I think 50 is very optimistic from Philip Fulmer.
Yes.
I certainly don't see that happening early on in the season. And when I say 75% capacity, I'm saying that only in the possibility of November with the numbers looking a lot better, right?
Yeah, I know what you're saying.
Like,
yeah.
Suddenly we have a big drop-off all of a sudden, and the curve's looking great, numbers are going down, and then late in the season in November, maybe there's some SEC states and cities where you could have 75,000 fans at the game. And then it looks a lot more like a normal college football Saturday with those
right.
games.
And what we're really probably looking at is the ability in a great scenario to go from 20% to say 30 or 35%. Like that to me seems like the gradual progression if things are on the upswing. If not, we're just not going to see fans at Neyland.
Well, and I'll say this too. And he's saying what, 20,000 to 50,000? He's hoping for closer to 50,000. In terms of capacity or percentage. Mm-hmm. I also think that shows that right now they're not planning on no fans. You know, that's kind of the last case, you know, that's the worst case scenario of this season, at least in Knoxville, and this isn't going to be everywhere, but they're planning on maybe 15 to 25,000 fans, even for that first game in September, which I think is a good sign if you want fans to be there 50% or 75% late in the season, if they're going to start with some fans in attendance. But then it comes down to, what do the numbers look like after that? What do the numbers look like over a month from now? What do they look like in October? What do they look like in November? A lot of variables. But well, I do like the flexibility option that Philip Fulmer in Tennessee is talking about. But it's going to vary from state to state. So what's that season going to look like when different stadiums have different capacities allowed?
But once, you know, for instance, let's use Ohio State as the example. What was their announcement last week, 20 or 25% at the Horseshoe?
Yeah,
season.
Now that's done.
Now that's gone, because yep. The Ohio Department of Health and the press secretary said, according to this new order on August 1st, it prohibits spectators at contact sports games. So that would mean Ohio State, the Bengals, the Browns, you name it. They're not going to have fans until this state of emergency declared by the governor no longer exists, or the Department of Health rescinds or modifies the order for spectators at contact sporting events.
Great test case that's going to take place starting today. I heard from a buddy who was close to NBA and heard the pads popping at NBA with practice. Full contact padded practice has started today all over the state of Tennessee with executive order number 55. We are going to start to see a great test case leading into college football of what this could look like, right? How many are going to be infected? What are the numbers going to look like after a few weeks of practices? What are the numbers going to look like after games? Hutton, we are less than 3 weeks away from kicking off high school football, which is crazy to think about. On Friday, we're 2 weeks away, exactly 2 weeks away from kicking off high school football. High school football will kick off more than a month before the SEC kicks off. You're going to have a huge body of work in this state. Let's just look locally in this state, in East Tennessee, in Middle Tennessee, in West Tennessee. You can look in every city, and we're going to see what contact sport looks like. Iowa just got through it. They were the one league to continue. They played their high school baseball season, full attendance, allowed fans to go, everything. They were not greatly affected throughout their season. Now, granted, Iowa, number-wise, different than Tennessee. People coming into Tennessee on vacation, a lot more coming into Tennessee than they are Iowa when they go on vacation. So I get that it's two different states from that perspective, but follow the high school football numbers. If you want college football in its entirety as we have it right now and you want fans, you need to follow those numbers with high school football. Let's see what it looks like there.
So NBA, they're practicing, even though their headmaster last week said they're not playing.
So this is where it gets weird. I talked to a couple coaches about this. They can practice to get ready for the season, but in Davidson County, they're being asked not to start the season until after Labor Day. But TSSAA rules and state rules don't stop them from playing or practicing to get ready for the season with full contact.
Yeah.
So I guess it's more of an attendance thing than it is a player thing at that point. I don't know. We'll continue to follow it.
Right now, though, we check in with some Titans media availability. Here is Titans safety Kevin Beyer discussing training camp.
Good. So you are a dad now, which means, you know, new priorities. How did you ever have the conversation with your family about possibly opting out, and how did you come to that decision, or are you still deciding?
Yeah, most definitely. You know, this has been unprecedented off season, just year period. Everybody's dealing with a lot. Obviously, I became a dad just last year. Obviously, my wife is pretty much any day now at this point, and we definitely had those discussions. I felt like, I mean, honestly, if I felt I was going to opt out, I probably wouldn't even be here right now. I would have never came to the building. So obviously we had those discussions and, you know, we've decided as a family that I'm going to play this year. Honestly, I feel like the NFL, or at least the Titans, don't know what every other team is doing, but the Titans, they're trying to do their best and we're trying to do our best to make sure everybody's safe. You know, like I said, man, it's a crazy world right now. I feel like, you know, you can catch the COVID walking to the grocery store, getting gas, anywhere. So I think that we all just had to make sure that we're all taking the precautions, washing our hands, wearing a mask, and that's everybody. I mean, obviously we can't control what other guys do outside the building, but we can at least try to, you know, talk to each other and try to make sure that we all just trying to protect each other. But yes, we had those discussions and, you know, we decided I'm going to play this season.
John Glennon.
Hey, Kevin. Wondering if you could talk a little bit about your impressions so far of Coach Midget and how different he is or is not than Kerry Coombs.
Yeah, so this is my first time actually us being in the meeting room together. I think it's been great. I mean, he's obviously not the fiery guy that Coach Coombs were, especially when he first got here. I mean, Coach Coombs is just a ball of fire. But I think he's a great guy. I think, you know, he's very knowledgeable. I mean, he played DB in the NFL, so – I mean, it's cool, but I mean, obviously, as we get to know each other more and, you know, as the season gets on, we really get to know each other and get to meet each other. But my first impressions of him, he's a real cool guy, very calm and relaxed. He knows football. He knows ball. So, you know, I think he'll be a great addition to our DB room.
Terry?
Kevin, you've probably seen the Major League Baseball positive test and all. Does that give you guys any cause for alarm inside the locker room?
Yeah, I mean, you know, we everybody has social media, everybody has Twitter. You know, we're seeing different things about baseball. I mean, it's a lot of rumors out there about, you know, guys were at clubs and, you know, all type of different stuff like that. So, like I said, I mean, I can only control what I can control, which is making sure that I'm wearing my mask and I'm washing my hands and I'm trying to be safe and just trying to talk to the guys about them pretty much doing the same thing. I mean, we even Dennis Kelly, he's obviously our player rep. You know, he has almost been like, he's really been anal about it. I mean, for some guys, obviously, we're all getting used to these new rules and protocols and wearing the mask and stuff like that. And I think it's good. I think it's good for, you know, John, the head coaches, everybody's just trying to make sure that everybody's wearing masks, because at the end of the day, man, the safest team and the healthiest team this year, I think is going to be the one that's going to be playing in January and February. So, I mean, like I said, we can only control what we control. I mean, obviously different sports, whether it's basketball, you know, NHL, baseball, they all have different, you know, ways of going about things. But as far as us as a team, we're trying to do our best.
Jim White.
KB, appreciate your time. I guess just what's it like being back in the building, and what's the feel like at the start of this training camp during what's been obviously a different off season?
Honestly, man, it's been great. I mean, this is the longest I've been without, you know, football probably since I started playing. It's been a long time. I'm happy to be around the guys. I'm happy to be in the DB room, just, you know, talking about ball, talking about life, asking guys what they did this offseason. Obviously, nobody's done anything, but it's been great, man. I want to play football. I wanted to come back to work. I wanted to get coached. I wanted to be in the meeting room and talking about ball. This is something I enjoy doing. But, I mean, obviously, it's been different. I mean, we've been in the weight room with masks on and stuff like that. This is obviously something we're adjusting to. But, I mean, honestly, it's a blessing. I feel like I'm blessed to be able to play a game that I love. I mean, obviously, it's unprecedented, and it's a lot of different things you have to get used to. But, you know, just doing what I can.
Buck?
Hey, Kevin. Hope you're doing all right. What's kind of the DB room like right now, given all the protocols that have been implemented? We talked to Tannehill last week about how things being so spread out almost gives a feeling of even greater disconnect. Do you find that to be the same case, or what kind of your experience? What has your experience been like so far?
Yeah, I mean, just a little bit. Obviously, so our DB room is actually not even in the building. It's actually in the bubble. We're kind of always ducked off in the corner. But yeah, the desks are spread out. Our coach has like a mic that he's talking through speakers, so, you know, guys in the back can hear, because we're a little spread out. I mean, you know, when guys are answering questions and stuff like that, sometimes it's hard to hear. You have to kind of like lean, just try to hear guys. But I mean, obviously, once we get out there on the field and get out there and walkthroughs, we're going to be trying to do our best to communicate. Some guys want to have masks on, you know. It's different for sure. It's definitely different. But I think the beauty of it is the simple fact is we're obviously coming back in the same system. So a lot of this stuff is really just more review, clean up on a lot of different things. And, you know, we're trying to hit the ground running. So I think we're going to try to use that as an advantage that maybe other teams don't have that advantage. So we're going to try to use every advantage that we can use this season.
Luke?
KB, with the lost preseason games and the significantly less practice time you've had and the restrictions that will be placed on the practice you do get, what can you all do practically when you do practice to get into a rhythm to sort of make up for what you've lost?
Yeah, I mean, as far as, you know, not having no preseason games, I think last year I maybe played 20 snaps in the preseason. I mean, obviously they're valuable snaps, but at the same time, I think now not having the preseason snaps, I think it's going to be very critical, rather if we're doing walkthroughs, jogthroughs, practice in helmets or practice in shoulder pads. Everything is going to be highly critical that we're making sure that we're communicating, we're all being on the same page. And it's just the new normal. I mean, we don't know if it's going to be like this next year. Might not have no OTAs or whatever. So I just think it's just something that we're all adjusting to. You know, I kind of try not to worry about, you know, the negatives and stuff. I just worry about the stuff that I can control, the positives, and trying to make sure all guys on the same page. I think that's just me being a great leader on the team and trying to make sure that, you know, we're all on the same page and understand that this is what it's going to have to be and we're going to have to adjust. It's NFL, we're professionals, and it's an ever-changing league, and it's definitely changed this season.
Yeah, Kevin, apart from obviously all the changes, you know, with COVID, and following up a little bit on John's question, how different do you think it's going to be this season without Combs, without Dean Pease, and what are you seeing so far from Shane Bowen?
It's going to be different for sure. Dean was my guy. He's a legendary coach. I mean, it's going to be hard to replace a guy like him for sure. But obviously, I mean, Vrabel comes from the same tree. We're not running too much of a different defense. Like I said, Combs was, I mean, ball of fire. I mean, he used to get guys lit up in the locker room and stuff like that. It was very cool. But I mean, before, you know, Coach Combs came, I mean, I had Deshae Townsend as a DB coach, and he was a lot cool, calm. You know, we're all professionals. I mean, honestly, I think that everybody has to do their job, no matter who's your coach. You know what I'm saying? Everybody's going to be – got to be coachable. Everybody's got to want to learn, no matter where the message is coming from. And I think you know, most of our guys understand that. And to your point about Shane, we haven't had like a total team defensive meeting yet, as far as, you know, Shane being in front of the room. But Shane is a very knowledgeable guy. He's always been great with the guys. And when he gets in front of the room, you know, when he speaks, everybody listens. So, I mean, regardless of who's talking to us and whatever, I mean, it's going to be great. Honestly, I think this year, you know, it's really going to have to be a lot of player leadership, including myself, really leading the guys, especially on the field, because, like I said, we're going to be distanced and stuff like that. But the guys that's on the field, we're really going to have to lead each other and make sure that we're all good on the same page.
He's one of the Titans' top leaders inside the locker room. That's Titan safety Kevin Byard. We're hearing his media availability there. When we come back, Taylor Lewan, Jonnu Smith, and much more. Midday 180, queued up by Edley's Barbecue, 104.5 The Zone.
This is your home for the Falls. Get every game and the best coverage with us. 104.5 The Zone.
More crazy stats from the NHL bubble. Midday 180 queued up by Edley's Barbecue on 104.5 The Zone. Of the 7,013 COVID-19 tests administered from July 17th to August 1st, zero positive tests for the NHL. And you remember, they were quarantining and doing some things here in the States, practicing here with measures in place, and then traveled to Canada, where the numbers are just phenomenal in Canada. Once you make it across the border, you're good. So that's interesting that, again, zero cases there as the NHL bubble seems to be working to perfection. The Titans, they have started Titans training camp, as the rest of the NFL has done. We're hearing from some of those players who have gone through the tests and protocols and are beginning the walkthrough phase of camp now. Here is pass rusher Harold Landry.
Oh, yeah. I mean, I don't know. I just felt like my preparation was the same. I guess I just had like a cold spurt, you know. You hate to see it, but, you know, it happens. I'm not too worried about that happening this year. I feel tremendous. I'm just ready to go.
Your position coach, Shane Bowen, said that he thought that you probably played too many plays, and he put the onus for that on himself, said he needs to get more guys involved. Did you feel that way at all, especially toward the end of the year?
I hold myself to a high standard, so I feel like, you know, whenever he wants me out there, I should be able to perform at a high level. That's on me. I just need to be I just need to be able to perform at my best, full go every single play. And, you know, I think it has more so to do with, you know, me than it does him. But, you know, I appreciate him, you know, having my back.
David Beauclair.
Harold, to that end, how important is it to you to be the leader in sacks on this team, not just 1 year, but maybe 2, 3, 4, however, how important is that to you?
That's not necessarily like something I think about every day. I just think that I want to be a player that when I go out on the field, you know, all my boys that I'm out there with, like, they can like count on me to, you know, not just like to do my job, but to make impactful plays and to just cut it loose and, you know, just be relentless every single snap. If I end up leading the team in sacks, then, you know, it is what it is. But, you know, my goal every play is just to be impactful, be able to somehow get the ball back to our offense as fast as we can.
Jim White.
Harold, appreciate your time, first off. Where'd you spend your time this offseason getting ready for the season, and how you feel do you feel like you can take an even bigger step in year three, despite the fact you didn't have OTAs, mini camp, and offseason program?
I spent pretty much my whole offseason here in Tennessee. It's crazy how things worked out. You know, I was actually like doing a legit home gym before the whole COVID thing broke out. And then the whole COVID thing broke out, and I was already set with like the renovations and everything at my house to have my own gym. So I'm ready to go. I feel great. I'm ready to take that next step. You know, my goal really when I came into the league was just be a better player every single year I come into the league. You know, I feel like I took a step from year one to year two, and now it's time to take a step from year two to year three. And I think I'm ready to do that. I put in a lot of work, and, you know, I'm excited for this season.
Paul Karski.
What are the keys to that step, Harold? How much we talked about kind of expanding the repertoire, where do you feel like you are in terms of adding to the blazing edge speed?
So I would say, you know, just like being consistent with my work and preparation every single day, and especially like in the weight room and out on the field, like in my own time, you know, being able to maintain that explosive ability and my strength throughout the entire NFL season. You know, being diligent with my body as well, taking care of my body. But yeah, no, I mean, I'm not necessarily looking to have like, you know, 1,000 moves in my repertoire. You know, I'm just looking to have 2 or 3 and being able to make those the best, like the best reps possible. You know, and another thing is, you know, being versatile, being able to, you know, rush, not just on the edge, but, you know, wherever they want me to rush from, depending on the call. So yeah, that's what I feel like I need to do to take that next step.
Have you developed much of a relationship with Vic through the Zoom stuff? Have you talked at all beyond that?
Nah, not really. You know, but I'm looking forward to meeting him.
Buck.
Hey, Harold, to that end, talking about developing moves and stuff like that, is there anybody specifically that you watch that you want to try and emulate based off their success, based off of how you physically match up with other guys in the league? Has Vrabel or Shane given you anybody that they would like for you to watch to kind of base that process off of?
No, I mean, it depends on like what move you're looking at, you know, because to me, you know, not everybody matches the skill set of a Von Miller or a Khalil Mack who can just win off their athletic ability. Like, you know what I'm saying? But like when you're talking about different moves, you can watch different guys. Like if you're trying to perfect the spin, you can watch Dwight Freeney. If you're trying to, you know, protect, like if you're trying to like perfect a ghost move, touch and go, you can look at Von. You're trying to look at a cross chop, you can look at Yannick. I mean, you get, like the list goes on. Depending on what moves you're trying to work on, there's a whole bunch of guys in this league that they've picked certain moves and they've kind of mastered them. And, you know, I feel like that's what you want. You need to have, like, I feel like to maintain a level of consistency in this league to produce wins in pass rushing, you got to, like, you just got to pick a couple moves and just, like, make them, like, your best moves and just be able to hit them with stride, no thinking about it every rep. And I think you'll have success.
That's pass rusher Harold Landry speaking with the local media for the Titans there. We'll hear from more Titans coming up as we kick off the final hour of the show. Taylor Lewan and Jonnu Smith also scheduled to join the Zoom chats. It's the Midday 180. We are queued up by Edley's Barbecue.